we're going to leave it to Jeff. Next topic.
Thank you, John. Yes, the next topic of IFRS taxonomy tables. As you would have read in the slides you've received, we have received some feedback that the IFRS taxonomy itself doesn't comprehensively cover enough of the variation in tables that are used in common practice in presentations in IFRS financials. Although there are around 120 of them in the taxonomy, it still is apparently going to lead to a high use, high usage and dependence on extensions, with implications potentially for additional cost and difficulty of preparation for preparers, and also complexity for users of data from IFRS financials. So we are currently looking at feedback, but we would very much like to have your views under the headings of the two groups of questions that are presented on the next slide. There are two lots of questions. The first one here is relating to IFRS taxonomy tables and what your experience is of using them and what your views are. And then we will move on after that to the possibility and potential for introducing some template approach, perhaps, in the way the taxonomy is structured. So could we move on to a session around the table of working down the questions here? Should we take them in an order so that we can marshal the responses? And so on, the first one is, can you go back to the first the first set of questions?
Is this the first set?
Yes.
Yeah.
The previous slide.
That's the previous.
No, this is the one, isn't it?
This is the previous.
Sorry, that's it. Right. Sorry, my
no problem.
I should have been sitting where Richard is. Sorry about that. Are you currently using the IFRS taxonomy tables? And if not, why not? And why and how do you use them? You got any experience around the table of using the taxonomy tables in financials?
Okay.
Yes, hypercubes, tables of hypercubes, yes. Clearly an issue for people who are going to be looking at tagging financials in the imminent implementation in the States, and also in preparation for the initiative with ESMA, when we start tagging more of the detail in the financials as opposed to just the primary financial statements.
Just before we go to the, can we check for the folks on the call, on that's calling us, if they have any questions or any feedback at this point?
I think we have on mute now.
Are they on mute still and can't speak?
They can speak.
They can speak. Okay, so then we'll go ahead. You've got a comment, sure.
I think the good answer.
The microphone, please.
The good answer would be, I think, thanks to SAC. I think we have a wonderful opportunity probably next March or April time, once all these 20F filers, which is quite a lot of them, once those data is being filed, then I think it will give us wonderful opportunity about the tables. What tables they're using, what tables they're not using. And so I think just what, six to 7 months to wait, I think, then I think you will get really good scientific, the answer of the questions you are asking. Right now, I mean, who, apart from voluntary filing, nobody files in XBRL using IFRS taxonomy. Well, so it's very difficult to give answer of that questions.
We're thinking that perhaps people who are, like yourselves, who are preparing to act for clients may have had some experience in looking at the complexity of situations that you'll be faced with in servicing the companies as preparers.
So is that saying that in your day-to-day work, you're not using tables?
I guess probably, the people like myself, the people who really does all this preparatory work. Yeah, they can, you know, they give kind of the really insight about the, you know, these particular questions, I think. But good answer would be probably once everybody filed, then it will give us a very good picture about your questions. I mean, that's my opinion.
I think it's a bit early.
Unless proactively I share with you whatever the, you know, the filers actually and the thing we do with them, that would be one probably before that, you know, the filers.
So can we?
Yeah, I agree with you that building.
Keep wondering, Mike, who? I agree that there'll be a lot more a year from now. Thinking that Mike would pass a mandate earlier years ago, I did filing use the IFRS tax, not filing, but preparing use the IFRS taxonomy, and we're doing some now because it has been passed, including the detailed footnotes. And yes, we're using tables because they make sense within the taxonomy, and mostly for the purpose of disaggregation, which I know will resonate with Lewis because we've talked about that in the U.S. But anytime something's broken down, revenue is broken down by segment, for example, well, it would be odd not to use tables. So yes, we're using them there because that way it saves an extension. You know, revenue segment A would be an extension line item, and that makes no sense. It'd be extending forever. Plus, it's worked well where you're reusing the members. So maybe revenue by product, and then maybe, so the products are the members. Maybe then something else is broken down by product. Trying to think of something. Assets maybe by product. That sounds weird. Geography might be a better example. We're showing revenue by geography, then we're showing assets by geography. So it's a different table, but the same dimensions. I'll again go back to disaggregation is probably the biggest reason that we use tables. And yeah, we're using the tables right from the taxonomy, and usually extending some members because there's always some other category the company comes up with. So, I mean, first thought, tables work pretty smooth in the IFRS taxonomy because you need them for certain things that you're tagging, so you don't have to extend.
Do you find it difficult to recreate your own tables? Like if you would say, for instance, a prepared report, a deposits by customer or something like that. In our taxonomy, we have line items for deposits. We have an access, for instance, for customers. But now we're saying we don't have a table which really combines the line items of deposits together with the access breakdown by customer. So really saying, okay, you have the elements, but you may need to combine these things together, and you have to create your own extension table. Now, how difficult is that from a preparation viewpoint?
The most difficult is coming up with, should I create this, bring these tape axes and members from different areas together. Creating it is simple. I mean, most every software. In some cases that's unfortunate because it allows you to get too creative, as you say, or said earlier. So creating it, not a problem. The thinking of, there's not the table I'm looking for here. Oh, wait, I can get it from grabbing into here and there. There's a little complexity in that, whereas someone would just say, I'm going to extend the whole table, you know, creating your own thing. But my general answer is no, that's not. If I can't find the table that I want to match the disclosure, I'm going to create maybe a full-on extension of a dimensional table.
Is there anything we can do to actually make that process easier in terms of identifying when you've got the pieces that you can bring together to create your table?
Nothing replaces familiarity with the taxonomy as far as the ability to find it and or not find it erroneously. I can't think of anything that, like, if this, then I could really do it quickly. Right now, anyway.
And technically, it's not an issue these days, you say?
I would say technically, softwares can put together an extension table or whip together a member from this table and extension access, vice versa. Or grab an access from here and a member from there and put them together.
The background of this question is, I think, our common practice analysis and the process we followed or have followed over the last 5 years Because, for example, you mentioned, revenue or something, assets by geography, and assuming that that's not required by the standard, our approach to common practice has always been, well, okay, if someone discloses assets by geography, do we have assets? Yes. Do we have geography axes? Yes. End of story. Not creating the actual table for assets by geography, even if it was common. What we thought was, okay, we don't need to create those tables. People will create those tables. We just need to make sure that the items to create those tables are in the taxonomy. And I think part of the question is, is it useful to revisit that and say, well, if we see something as a table that mixes items that are not usually, that are not in the taxonomy put into a table, is it worth doing the effort and actually creating those tables that potentially might be used by some only? I think we just never felt the need. We just thought, okay, if you are familiar with the taxonomy, you're going to make it yourself. And I think that's the kind of background behind this question. Is it worth for us to actually look at, okay, this is a table, so we need also an element that is a common practice table, hypercube, rather than telling people, well, you can do it yourself, so you got all the items in the taxonomy. I think that's kind of, and that kind of, that goes, to your question. Yes, you have to look at the taxonomy to know that those line items are kind of put together with those members. At the same time, you got less of a taxonomy to look through.
Have we anticipated enough of the elements that you need to stitch together to create the hypercubes that you...
I would say generally there could be more members. The way the taxonomy is produced, it's the ones that are in the illustrative guidance and if they're in the standard themselves. So,
yeah. In terms of the content, not in terms of line items and members, but in content, in terms of existence of the hypercube itself. Is the existence of the hypercube important, or if you got the members and line items, assume you got all the members and all the line items in the taxonomy, are you okay with just not having the
access
hypercube? The hypercube, not the axis. The axis is there, member line items are there, it's just that the table, the hypercube element is not there, that says disclosure of assets by geography table.
To me, that's meaningless.
So, we've done that, right? We did that very abstract modeling. We just gave you a list of dimensions and members. Huge mistake. Huge. Filers need to see the hypercubes, how you intended for it to be used, even if you've got to show it a dozen different ways. Just look at our pension implementation guide. How many examples did Melissa put in there? 20, 30, 40? She tends to go a little crazy. But the point is that if you just give them the dimensions and the numbers, they're going to screw it up every time. You want to do the illustrations. We're even going to the point now where we're baking templates into the taxonomy that you can import in their entirety, as you know.
I know, I don't understand the idea, but I don't.
Well, it's an import, right? So and they can't change it. They can augment it, but they cannot change it.
Yeah. Just to clarify my question, when you say screw it up every time, could you tell us what you mean by that?
Every time they screw it up. And I'm exaggerating just a little. But, I thought exactly the way you did. I remember, I think it was derivatives back 2009 or whatever. I thought this was really elegant. I just gave a list of dimensions and the members and then the line items below. And I said, oh, that's beautiful. No, it's not so beautiful. Only to a data modeler is it beautiful. But to preparers, it's a mess because they don't know what to do with it.
I mean, we never intend to just give lists and give the, so all those axes are used in the sense that geography axis is used somewhere and it's used with the revenue line item. It's just not used with, say, assets line item. So we're not thinking of just, putting out their lists purely for choice. But we just did notice that some go together more often than the others, and that's...
Well, I'm not suggesting you try and cover everything, but those that are commonly
understood as disclosures. And probably what came to mind when you created them in the taxonomy in the first place, it's really helpful to provide those, you know, to the filers so that they can understand what you had in mind, if nothing else. But it does make it a whole lot easier for them.
You would consider that a high priority as well, Lewis, if it were many?
It's central to the implementation guides we publish.
Okay.
That's why we publish them, is to illustrate that modeling.
Okay. And so the templates you talk about that are like illustrations, so that you cannot override, you can add new members, you can add new line items, but you can't change the structure.
You cannot change it. You can augment it, you can add to it, but you can't change it. So they're included in the taxonomy, and the SEC now allows you to import those particular link roles, right? So that means they're actually included in the SEC system as well. And then the filer, they're not required to use it, but it's there. You know, if they're creating a new disclosure and that's a piece of it, they can just start from there. So we're trying to do everything we can to get them to follow those practices, okay, as opposed to just giving them a lot of choices, because we know where that goes.
Did you find that they were stitching it together in different ways to report similar things, for example?
Oh, they are so creative. Unbelievably creative, seriously.
So, Chief, did you want to add to that?
I was thinking about that. Is this appropriate comment or not? Just sharing that in Japan, we are prohibited to create new dimensions on the company's extensions. And before, initially, the dimension wasn't so clear to describing some kind of the shape of actual table on the financial statement or some structure, describing some structure of the data, data structures. So once our JGAAP taxonomies are the same structure of the IFRS taxonomy, and then once we found some fact, we can't describe something about retroactive approach, and then finally we reduced some one axis. So that at that time it was not the structure, it was data structure, but the company wanted to make it on actually drawing on the financial statement. So it's at least a two dimension. So something irregular things happened. So the dimension is the purpose of the dimension is sometimes quite difficult to understand. So anyway, I don't know if this our experience is appropriate in this here or not, but I wanted to share our experience.
Okay. Thanks, Shi. Kylie, were you going to add to it?
Yeah, just to add to that, so I've got 2 points really. In terms of how creative, I've seen perhaps an instance from every single mandate around the world where a geographical dimension, a geographical axis has been used to break down almost every single reported fact, where they say that this comes from the UK, this comes from the UK, this comes from the UK, this comes from the UK. And it really points out the need to have both guidance and the use of tables to show a single way of representing what is a single fact, and also what are defaults. I don't know where your feedback came from, but yes, I recognise that it is a real problem with taxonomies that are used in jurisdictions where there's no expectation to extend, because to use some combinations of dimensions at the moment would require you to architect your own hypercube. But in those cases, you'll often see a re-architecture of the taxonomy generally. And whilst it's true that they may have replaced or seem to have deleted all of the original tables, you'll actually find in definition that the vast majority of the original tables have been re-implemented.
I think the idea came from taxonomies that are more dimensional than ours, and that, you know, just put the same dimension everywhere, just for the case that someone might want to use it. So that's one way of, I think, creating the taxonomy. So say, you know, operating segments dimension, you could probably put it in each and every hypercube that we have, because probably almost anything can be broken down by segments. Mm-hmm. property, plant, equipment, intangibles, you know, anything practically in the financial statement. And therefore, the question is, you know, is it important for us to put that dimension all over the taxonomy into each and every hypercube to indicate that if you break your disclosure down by operating segments, you need this, you need to use this dimension, or is it enough if we have that dimension used in all the places that it's necessary to use it because the standard requires so, and assume that because preparers will have to use that dimension for required disclosures, they will also figure it out that for any other disclosure that is not required but uses operating segment, they have the dimension. And our thinking always was, because there is an expectation for that dimension to be used in certain cases, then preparers will automatically reuse it for other cases that they break things down by operating segments. And that's kind of our logic that says you don't have to actually put it into each and single hypercube, because preparers will know and they will put it into each hypercube they actually need it in. And it might be just, you know, an additional one or two, might be more, depending on what the financial statement looks like. Our expectation in general was that it's not something that will be used all over the taxonomy usually. There will be, you know, less hypercubes that need it than they don't need it. And therefore, if that's the structure, if that's the proportion, then you actually don't need to put it there, because it will be unused in most of the hypercubes. That was our reasoning. And I don't know if what Luis says is kind of contrary to that. It might be, but that's the background kind of.
So what is the problem of it being unused in most of the hypercubes if it were there?
Well, one problem is that it's difficult to look at the tables. Software will quite often not even show you the table because it says it's just too many combinations. And we have that trouble when we want to see the table in the software we use, that it just says, you know, number of cells, 7 million. Sorry, we can't even show you that. And that might be, we think that's difficult for preparers as well, if they use it. But it will depend on software. So, you know, I don't want to get into the details of the software because I haven't used many of those. But we think it just makes everything more complex. Preparers are starting also to think, well, do I have to now put it there? The other consideration that we have in this building is, well, if we put it there, are we implying that it needs to be used? Is there a requirement for this to be used? Because we want to be safe, we don't want to be seen as driving the practice. So every time we put something in there that is not explicitly tagged, that we don't inform explicitly that it's common practice, and it's difficult to do for an operating segment dimension to put it everywhere and somehow indicate that it's common practice here but not there. So there might be an expectation if the operating segment dimension has a disclosure reference on it and we put it into some other table, people will go see the table and say, well, okay, that's the disclosure requirement. I might have not noticed it, but am I supposed to actually disclose it? Probably yes. And we don't want to drive practice, and that's the worry we have as well. The other thing is there are a number of items in the taxonomy that are non-dimensional at all, so that would mean that we would have to recreate the whole, half of the taxonomy to actually put it into hypercubes, because we have a lot of items that are not in hypercubes. And we just, I think, never felt it's important to do so, and we never felt the cost-benefit as being more benefit than cost. And that's why the question.
And I think what we are considering more, I would say, in the short term is more, okay, should we put in more tables for common reporting practice? Because, like Bartek already alluded to, at the moment our common reporting practice projects will identify new elements, but do not necessarily look at how these elements are used together. Like, for instance, if we have a breakdown of deposits by maturity customers, which are often reported for banks, we wouldn't necessarily have included that in the taxonomy, because we had maturity access, we have a customer access, we have line items for deposits. So, and somewhere in between type of thing is, okay, should we add more tables for common reporting practice? And if so, how useful that is, because of course, if we were to initiate such a project, that is going to ask additional resources of the team. So we really want to see here, okay, how useful do you find tables, what's the impact on preparers, what's the impact on users, so that we can form an informed opinion of, is it useful to add additional results? We're really definitely not looking at this stage to go to a complete rehaul of the IFRS taxonomy data model. And I think Ashok, there are a few other people, if you could, when you give your comments, if you could do it within this context, that would be particularly useful, I think.
Yes, before we go to the others, you have more slides to get through?
The only other side we were looking at was going to be the recommendations for a template approach. Lewis mentioned briefly the way things have moved in his jurisdiction, and maybe that could be brought into the responses that people are going to give now, and we're very close to running out of time.
Okay, so let's do that. Let's go to that. And
there's nothing keep from a presentational point of view to add.
Okay, so we'll go there and keep those two elements of feedback in mind.
Okay, sure. So, you know, the very quick, I think, you know, the based on, you know, the not scientific approach, a scientific observation, but I found it, you know, the working 5 years with the US GAAP and now here, you will see probably more disclosure in a table format, specifically in Europe. Maybe, I don't know, some cultural thing. So you will see lots and lots of tables compared to US. US is so much textual thing. Everything is buried in a textual thing. So we will see probably right now, I think IFRS got something like 190, 120 tables. I think probably it will get more because a lot of people actually disclose in a more table format. And second thing is the dimension. I think it's all about educational thing. I remember first 3 years, 12, 13, 14, highest questions in my company we dealt is dimensions, because it's counterintuitive, you're breaking the portion out there. But everybody now learned, and so we do not get any questions on dimension. People really understood what it's all about. And I think that may happen here too.
Thanks, Ashok. Try and give these guys a chance, Mike.
Sure. I heard a lot of concerns. I think, you know, the alternative to table structures is chaos. So the fact that you have a lot of elements or dimensions in a table is much better than if you didn't have it at all. So I think more holistically about what IFRS is all about. It's about international standards. So that was one point. Second point is, you're not trying to drive market practice. Yeah, I think you are, because that's why we have IFRS. This is just the digital expression of that. And tables are a great way to provide a framework for common disclosures. We had that conversation this morning when we talked about the yield curve, where a picture of a curve is useless. The table is the only way to go. So I think there's lots of examples we could point to, but in my mind, I think about this as providing my kids with discipline. You know, I give them a framework for decision making, and I let them make their choices. If I don't give them that framework, then I have criminals. So I think this is all part about driving market consistency, which I think is really what the primary objective that we're after is.
Thanks. Paul, you have a comment?
Is that on?
Yeah. That's all.
Just a couple of very quick things. I think it's actually very difficult to answer this question without a clear understanding of the extent to which extensions are going to be expected or required. If you look at the US example, filers are required to submit an extension. Indeed, they're required to rebuild every single table from scratch. So suggesting that as they do that, they include a couple of extra dimensions to meet their needs isn't a big issue. But I wouldn't want to assume that that's the environment in which the IFRS taxonomy will be used. I'm not sure that's something we want to emulate, and indeed the move towards templates suggests that actually maybe we want to go the other direction. So if you're designing a taxonomy that's intended to be used without extensions except for exceptional cases, then obviously that would steer you towards including more dimensions by default, which then comes on to the issue that you mentioned about tools. I was interested that large number of dimensions are causing problems with tools, and I would say don't let that drive your decision. Don't underestimate the extent to which tools will adapt. If you say this is the direction our taxonomy is going, it's about to be used live by a significant number of filers, the tools will adapt pretty quickly to match that. If you look at what's happened with Solvency 2 and the vast amounts of data they're working with, tools have undergone a lot of optimization in order to solve that, and what was previously seen as insurmountable performance issues have largely been surmounted.
Let's go to Michael then comment.
I think, you know, we've been talking about these templates and tables for quite a while, but if we look at the other examples that exist in the XBRL field, a large number of tables constitutes the entire FINRA taxonomy, financial reporting for credit institutions under IFRSs, and this does not prevent the banks from fitting into the particular set of forms with the data necessary for the regulators. Secondly, no significant issues were reported under FINREP so far about the banks being unable to represent the key material information according to these templates. Thirdly, the models which are based on templates are very often much more easily extensible than the models which are based on the free forms such as the taxonomy that we have right now. If you take a look at the taxonomies like the DPM, the extensibility issues that we encountered in 2007-2008 across 28 member countries, were we couldn't resolve them. Basically, each of the countries went different ways, and we couldn't come up to any conclusion. No mechanism would allow us to compare the data reasonably, and the filers were having issues in reporting multiple countries, similar information according to five or six different ways of national discretion. Now, with the current approach of the ESAs, of the European Banking Authority, or similarly the European Insurance Occupational Pensions Authority, with one single model based on templates, indeed, it is possible to cover information all across 28 member countries without trading off the quality of this data. Therefore, I think at some point of time it might be worth to consider by this body especially, but also later on by the ISB itself, whether this approach is really going against the principles of the filers being able to disclose the information, because we've got this perception from the past. Now the technological advancements have made it all possible. Paul mentioned some with regards to the large tables. Some of the tables in IOPA Solvency II reporting, they don't consist of 7 million rows or columns. They consist of 70 million rows of columns. And they can be handled by software if appropriately designed. Therefore, I think some of these restrictions which we had in mind are coming from a few years back. Might be worth revisiting them and seeing whether really the template-based approach or the reference model, as Mike referred to these rules for his children, it's actually the taxonomy and the template-based taxonomy could become a reference model for the filers. It doesn't necessarily mean forcing them to use specifically this model, but it helps them orient about where to extend, how to change the reference model and adjust to their needs.
Thanks, Mike. Just Chi and then Louis Nimicki.
I remember the why we are prohibited extend dimensions. I don't know how other countries are doing, but in our countries, it's most difficult problem is presentation link basis. So the taxonomy has to be presented to the data at the same as disclosed. So in that case, it's high-level dimension, or such kind of hypercube. It's quite difficult to how to, you know, display from the instance files and using taxonomy, and how to present on a screen or somehow same as the company disclosed on the as a financial statement. So I truly wanted to know how other countries is the user managing to this high level dimensions or many axes. But if we want to present on the as same as financial statement, in that case, it's two axes is, I think, a limitation to describe correctly. So it was the reason why the JGAP taxonomy has to be deleted to the retroactive axis from the balance sheet, because it we found that if the company some cases is that those three axes couldn't present as same as the balance sheet. So that we are the country which is using the local languages. So the automatically converting to English is one of the strong reasons to introduce, strong merit to introduce XBRL. So the presentation link basis must be works for present as same as what the company discloses as annual report. So the high level dimension become some kind of the trouble to in that case.
So I just wanted to focus on something that, you know, Bartek and Rita were saying earlier, and temper a little bit of what I was saying, you know, where I was suggesting hundreds of thousands of templates or tables. I certainly wouldn't go there. I mean, I would focus on creating tables for those disclosures that you know you're modeling. You're making specific tables based on what is in your accounting standards. And then to the extent that you see a common practice developing or you know common practices there, then those you might also include, if for nothing else, for no other reason than to ring fence some of the behavior, and that, you know, helps pull it in. But, you know, you had said something earlier about putting your operating, I forget what.
Operating segment axis on everything.
Axis on everything.